I usually spend the first hour of the day just sitting here drinking coffee, like just watching TV, not doing anything.
Kale Poland is 32 years old and lives in Laconia. He's skinny but broad-shouldered. He's got a shaved head and often sports a beard, though right now it's just a little soul patch. This time of day, early morning, is about the only time you can catch him at rest.
So on the way to work, I'm driving into town, and I see him running on the sidewalk carrying bags of groceries, just running.
I hear this scuffing sound and turn around and look, and there's this individual with bald head and a big bushy beard running up the hill, towing this big tire with a chain. And as he went by, I just shook my head and said, "You're an animal."
Kale does ultra marathons. The term ultra, in case you've somehow missed this particular brand of crazy, at first meant any running race longer than a marathon. But it now encompasses a whole lot of really long races of every sort, including triathlons. Think of the Ironman. It's a 2.5-mile swim, a 112-mile bike ride, and a marathon. It takes between 8 and 17 hours.
For a lot of people, the Ironman is the pinnacle of the sport.
Not for Kale Poland. His ultra-distance resume reads like a catalog of bad ideas. He's done many 50-mile running races, of course, also a few double Ironman races, even triple and quintuple Ironman distance events. But in 2012, he was the 7th American ever to complete what he calls a DECA. That's 10 times the distance of an Ironman.
You know, you kind of get, like, written into the books, the obscure history books of ultra-distance try.
There are two ways of doing a race like this. One is you do an Ironman every day. When you finish, you go to bed and you wake up the next day to do another, 10 days in a row. But what Kale did is called a continuous DECA triathlon, where each leg is simply 10 times as long as a normal Ironman, and after the starting pistol, the clock never stops. That's a 24-mile swim, a 1,120-mile bike ride, and a 262-mile run.
It's like, you know, it's longer than the English Channel. You're cycling from Maine to the Carolinas, maybe. And then you're swimming, or running rather, to, you know, another couple states.
There are lots of ultra runners out there. Every year, in fact, there are more. Since 2004, the number of ultra-distance running races in North America has quadrupled. But in this blossoming niche, Kale is kind of a different breed. For one, his training is just built into his life. Here's his routine. A few times a week, he's up at 5:15 in the morning to teach a spin class at the local athletic club. Next, he heads to Gunstock, 8 miles away, where he manages the cross-country center and coaches the ski team. By the way, he doesn't drive a car. He either runs or bikes. Just Kale's baseline level of activity is pretty boggling. Before he even gets to going for a run just to go for a run, Kale can clock somewhere between 70 and 120 miles a week. Once you add in just plain old exercising, he's hoping to average around 400 miles a week.
This little hill here, like, you don't even think of it as one until you get on a bike.
Yeah.
Kind of sneaks up on you.
The day I tagged along, he rode his bike to work. He hit the road at around 6 a.m. wearing a pair of ratty old wind pants and a jacket his employer had given him. He had two bags slung over his shoulders. This is another thing that sets him apart. He simply doesn't buy into the gear fetishism that permeates so many endurance sports. The bike he rides in the winter is this janky, noisy thing, maybe 20 years old. He's got it retrofitted to be a single speed, even though it's not designed to be one. It wasn't working very well.
Uh-oh. This is getting bad. I'm not worried. Whatever. I do have running shoes. I do have running shoes. Yep, there's that.
About 15 minutes into the ride, the chain falls off and we're off the bikes on the side of the road in the dark. I dig around in the oversized satchel that he's got slung over his shoulder and pull out a folding bike tool.
This is so stupid.
Kale rides in the snow, wind, rain, cold. He shakes off offers for rides home. Once, at the end of the day, he went to start his return commute and found he had a flat tire. But it was so cold, he just couldn't gather the will to change it. So he rode the 8 miles home on a flat tire. Miles Chase, Cale's boss at a bike shop in town, told me Cale once went to do a triathlon in Maine. He tried to bike there, but he got another flat. He called a friend to ask for a ride, but no dice.
He has his pack on. He has all his gear in his on him, so he puts on his run shoes and he runs the last 30 miles.
30 miles, pushing his bike, wearing a backpack. Cale says it took around 4 or 5 hours.
And he raced and did really well. But that's the life of Cale.
I like being fit. And I also know that if I had a car, I would not be able to do any events that I do because I know what choices I would make.
He says more than anything, he just wants to be tough. He says he cares about other things too, like saving money and the environment, but really, it's all about being tough. What's perhaps most astonishing about Cale is not the races he does or this sort of anytime, anywhere training philosophy or even the decision to use all of his gear until it's absolutely useless. It's that he can do all of this and still lead a pretty normal life with friends and a wife.
When I see him when he comes home from work, I'm not thinking, oh, this is my remarkable husband coming home.
This is Cale's wife, Nicole Poland. They were married last spring.
He's a regular guy who likes to do non-regular activities.
She doesn't do ultramarathons. She does run, but it doesn't seem to be any sort of centerpiece to her lifestyle. So as a couple, they have to find compromises.
We worked out a system, actually, I think it was last summer, where if we're going to go closer to the same pace and he doesn't have to go ahead and stop and wait for me, he can put some heavy weight in his backpack to slow him down a little bit.
She says Cale fits most of his exercise into a routine that works with their life together, but I suspect that's only part of what makes their relationship work. She's remarkably tolerant. For instance, in their engagement photos, Cale had this gigantic beard. No mustache, no sideburns, just a huge, black, wiry beard. He says his goal was for it to be bushy enough to see even when his back was turned.
I look back on it now, and I think, why didn't I say that needs to go? But then to tell somebody you need to get that off of your face when he seemed to like it so much, I just didn't feel like that was really something for me to say or demand.
But despite her tolerance, this says something about Cale, too. Something that a lot of people say. Athletes are often type A personalities. It's all about them, all about their race, all about their workout, their nutrition, their recovery. But not so much Cale.
I've been in the athletic community long enough to realize that most people that do these events are strange people, sometimes very strange people.
Here again is Cale's boss.
And that's what's so strange about Cale is he's not a strange person. He has his quirks and he does some pretty weird things and his lifestyle's strange. But you could have a conversation with him like any other person and you would not realize his athletic ability or what he's accomplished.
Cale's races go for days. That Deca Ironman he finished took 12 days. And remember, this is continuous. Any time that he slept, which was only for a few hours a night, the clock was still running. And just in case that sounds slightly appealing to you, the swim was in a pool, the bike ride was on a 1 kilometer course that takes 2 minutes or so to complete, and the run was on a similarly tiny loop, all within one city park in Monterrey, Mexico.
Oh, it was a horrible. I didn't actually enjoy the DECA, I don't think, for almost any of it. I was sick during the swim, and I definitely was sick during the run. The bike, I don't know, I may have enjoyed the bike the most of anything. The first few days are fine on the bike. You know, I know what a couple days feels like on the bike. 400 or 500, 600 miles, I know what that feels like. But when you start hitting 500 miles and you wake up in the morning after like a 2 hour sleep and you go, I have to spend the next 20 hours on the bike. And then you wake up the next day and you go, I need to spend the next 20 hours on a bike. And then you wake up the next day. It's like a nightmare that doesn't end.
The question that anyone who doesn't do races like this inevitably asks is why? Why do it?
I wouldn't say that I like the pain. I'm not like a masochist or anything.
Right.
I mean, how do you say it without being cliche? Oh, I want to find my limits and push them. It's not that.
He tells this story of attempting his first 100-mile running race, which he didn't finish. He says he got to run for a little while with the guy who eventually won a 200-mile race going on at the same time on the same course.
He was like moaning, crying, and he was on his last lap. It was, and it was super inspiring. And I'm like, wow, that dude is awesome. I want to be just like him.
So hey, I want to derail you here for a second.
Yeah, sure.
Because I think you probably know this, but like most people, if they had gone for a hike with this guy who was like moaning, and yeah. and they would say like, "There's no f-ing way that I'm doing that race ever."
Yeah.
There's no way I'm doing it, and like, what is wrong with these people? But so somehow for you that's like hugely appealing.
Yeah.
Can you explain that? Is it possible to explain that?
The distance, you can't race. So I like the idea of the journey. I think that's it, you know, the journey. It's all about just dealing with what you have. You don't have any responsibilities. You have no, your only focus is one thing, and that's just moving forward.
The end of the DECA is on YouTube. There are maybe around a dozen people gathered around a finishing line tape festooned with sponsors' logos. He comes jogging up, carrying an American flag, wearing only spandex shorts and his racing bib, a hat, and sunglasses. But he stops just shy of breaking through. He rubs the back of his neck and looks around, unsure of what's next. Race workers lower the finish line so he can step over and start hugging people. Someone jokes that he missed a lap. His dad pours a bit of beer over his hat and the crowd laughs. Within 2 minutes, the celebration is done, and Cale says, I don't really know what to do. There's no forward left, and for a few minutes, he just turns circles, shaking hands and hugging the people who are there to cheer for him. Cale doesn't hate every race that he does. He enjoys most of them. The race that I suspect he's most proud of and liked best was last year. It was called the Peak 500, a 500-mile running race in Vermont. It was 50 laps of a 10-mile course that went up and over a mountain every time. Cale calculates the elevation change was equivalent to going up and down Mount Everest 4.5 times. It involves sections that are off-trail, a section of hiking up a stream, and brutally steep climbs and descents. So he came prepared.
Cheez-Its, cheese balls, Twizzlers, those Starbucks drinks, those are actually unbelievable.
The run took 8 days. 5 people started, and he and one other were the only ones to finish. A friend had given him 2 pairs of fancy ultra-running shoes to race in, but when that friend came to visit, that wasn't what Cale had on his feet.
And he looked at the shoes that I was wearing, and he's like, what are those? I'm like, Walmart shoes. Like, I had my wife bring them on when she was coming to visit.
By the end of the race, he could only fit into size 13 shoes, fully 2 sizes bigger than what he usually wears. And he was starting to hallucinate.
I was kind of seeing like letters on rocks, which were obviously not there. Nobody's taking marker on every single rock. And it was almost like I would look down and they would just be there. And I'd look away, they're not there.
The next lap, his last lap, the hallucinations got worse.
Every time I looked into the woods, there was some form of, I called him a mannequin because it was like a human. You know, it wasn't doing anything, it was just stationary. It wouldn't do anything. Some of them were crouching, some of them were standing. But they were all kind of just staring, like, at me. And that was really unnerving. So it's kind of like a little bit of a nightmare.
That last lap, he just kept his eyes fixed on the ground.
I could deal with letters, but I couldn't deal with the mannequins because that was just too freaky for me. So I was like, okay, I can appreciate an E. An E is cool. But like this ghost thing over here, I'm all set.
Cale finished. He won, actually. The other guy was only 3 hours or so behind him, which is basically winning by a nose in a race this long. His big move was sleeping only an hour or so on the last night, which is maybe where the hallucinations came from. He was only the fourth person ever to finish this event. Cale's sense of needing to move forward was the closest I think I got to a real explanation of where his drive to do these races comes from. At the time, I told him he did a good job of explaining that motivation, but I realized later it was probably only a good explanation to someone like me, someone who likes exercising, maybe to an extent that some people find unnerving. One thing that's clear is Cale's a worker. I think he needs to feel like he's accomplishing something every day. I think that explains why he always has 3 or 4 jobs and why he worked 40-hour weeks in retail while he was in college. And it's also clear that he just plain likes his sports and likes being outside. But I think there's also something Cale didn't quite acknowledge. And this is the reason why I think I found his explanation satisfactory, but others might not. For many athletes, there's a point at which exercise becomes a tick. A tingle that you have to rub until it goes away. If it were gambling or liquor, we would call it a vice, but it's good for you. Exercise can be addictive, and I think Cale is hooked. Here's his wife.
You can tell the difference between Cale with exercise and Cale without exercise.
She says when he hasn't exercised, he gets quiet and tense. After he gets back, he seems calmer and evened out.
I think he just might hold it all inside, and then he just needs to let it out, and that's his way of doing it.
Cale had to go to the hospital after the Peak 500 because the blisters on his feet were so bad. But that's all just sort of part of the process. And it's a process he's ready to go through again. The same organizer is putting on another absurdly long running race this year. This one is 888 kilometers. He's also got a couple of long-distance speed records he's going to try to break, one biking and one hiking. He doesn't want to announce those attempts until a week or two before, for fear that some other crazy person will try to steal his thunder. But really, these races are just jabs to get him out the door. It's the getting out the door that he's shooting for. Cale says years ago, a friend of his really articulated this.
And he put it the best. He's like, You know what, Cale? I have never gone for a run, came back and regretted it. You know, like, That doesn't happen. You don't finish and go, oh, I wish I didn't do that. You always feel better.
Of course, that's assuming your feet haven't swelled 2 sizes. He says he's still got those size 13 Walmart shoes. He's saving them for this summer. For word of mouth, I'm Sam Evans Brown.